You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
What's up and, excuse me, welcome inside Studio 34 in Midtown Manhattan on a fabulous Friday. It's Fantasy Sports Today, OT, FSTOT right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The Fantasy Executive Corey Parson, that is I, Wall Street Matt Medica, the all-in kid Jake Sealy. Today's program, got a lot of stuff to get into. We'll do Rotation Nation with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I don't know why they had to put so many words in their name, but whatever, it works for them.
Orange County Angels.
The Orange County Angels. Shout out to Orange County, the OC. We'll discuss that. We got a little fantasy football to get into. We'll talk Derrick Henry, as I've now dubbed him King Henry. The NBA has King James. The NFL now has King Henry, so we'll discuss that. To get a little college basketball talk in there, too, as obviously rivalry renewed tonight in the Barclays Center with the Duke Blue Devils and North Carolina Tar Heels in the ACC semifinal round when they get to take on the University of Virginia, excuse me, as these teams vie for one seed.
Actually, I scored last night.
Yes, they did. They actually did it. They scored 80 last night, didn't they?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow, that's impressive for Virginia Cavaliers. And then obviously today is March 9th, which is the day that we celebrate the greatest rapper to ever walk the face of the earth, the Notorious B.I.G., who perished. Assassinated. That's a great Chris Rock joke. People say that Chris Rock was like, he heard somebody say that Notorious B.I.G. was assassinated. Like, no, he was shot. 21 years ago today, it seemed like it was just yesterday when I heard this news.
Do you believe the conspiracy theory that shot came from inside the car?
No, I do not believe that. I believe what's out there right now. The story is that the is a LAPD officer who also moonlighted as a member of the Blood Gang. I believe that gentleman is in jail now, but he is not in jail for the murder of Notorious B.I.G. But I do believe that is the guy that killed the Notorious B.I.G. on that night. I remember like it was yesterday, waking up that morning. I was in college at the time, and we drove. It was spring break. We drove from South Carolina to New York, and we got in the crib real late and went to bed. And I remember I always listen to the radio on my way to sleep. That's why I'm here today, because I've always had this affinity for the radio. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night, and the New York City radio legend Angie Martinez was on the radio crying. And I'm like, why is Angie on in the middle of the night, and why is she crying?
Yeah, that happened like late Saturday night, yeah, and Sunday morning.
Yep, and I was like, why is she crying? And then a little bit later on, I woke up and I heard my grandmother say, oh, Lord, then she killed that boy from Brooklyn. And I was like, hold on, what is she talking about? And then I went out there and saw what happened. So reminisce on some of that today. Obviously, we'll have some music going in and out of breaks. All in kid, Jake Sealy. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. There's 30 seconds left.
Yep. So I'm sorry I talked too long. I tend to do that. Jaylen Brown had a real nasty injury last night. Matt Medica, when we come back on the other side, get your thoughts on Notorious B.I.G. I got a story to tell about Notorious B.I.G. when I actually ran into him. Crazy story. And then we'll get into this Derrick Henry thing. It is FSTOT. We're just getting started right here on March 9th.
The RotoExperts.com exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package for 2018 is here and better than ever. Packed with a deluxe suite of articles from our award-winning analysts, this year's edition also features a brand new Slack channel, an improved cheat sheet generator, and our most accurate projections ever. We take you from draft day to championship week. Enter promo code FNTSY at checkout for a discount on your RotoExperts.com exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package.
Alright, back up and at 'em. FSTOT celebrating the Notorious B.I.G., greatest rapper of all time. Keep your opinions to yourself. You feel what I'm saying? If you disagree with that. I had a story about the time that I don't want to say met, but ran into the Notorious B.I.G. But first, Matt Modica, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. It is a fantastic Friday, by the way. It's actually pretty cold out there, though, which I'm fine with.
Yeah,
really, you know, spring is on the horizon. As far as the Notorious B.I.G. goes, for me, yes, I agree with Corey 100%. He is the greatest rapper of all time. I kind of get angry when people put Tupac in the same breath as him. I don't think Tupac is even, you know, he's further down a list. He's not even on my list. But
I agree with you. Tupac, to me, was a great actor. I think if he would have lived longer, I think he would have been a well-known, a great poet, as Chris Pavone says. I think he would have been a well-known actor also. But mm-hmm.
I'll agree with that. Like, you know, like the acting stuff. But as far as, like, rapper and the songs and stuff like that.
Never really did it for me.
For me, like, easy things are Led Zeppelin was the greatest rock band of all time.
Uh-huh.
There's, like, no discussion on that. And Biggie was the greatest rapper of all time.
All right, there you go right there. Tupac, I like Ambitions as a Rider, that first jam on the California Love, the double album. I thought that was great. Other than that, nothing really did it for me. And they played Hit 'Em Up last week, and I was like, I listened to it the other night. Hit 'Em Up was tough, I'll be honest with you. I didn't mean to poo-poo it like that. All in Kid, Jake Sealy, no discussion, right? Notorious B.I.G. is the greatest rapper of all time, correct?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'm not going to tell people they can't have discussion about it, though.
Okay.
Well, no, just because off the top of my head, like, I'm thinking about the number of songs, and obviously you're going to have a limited sample from B.I.G. because of what happened, but, you know, Nas and Jay-Z come to mind, and I think that if somebody wanted to sit here and, you know, debate it for 15 minutes with me, I think you could have an open, fun debate, and I think of a lot of songs that I could start naming for both of them as well. I think I would always come back and say B.I.G. I'd say Biggie every single time, but at least Nas and Jay-Z are very highly thought of with me as well, and that I'm agreeing with Matt, too. It's like, this is before I even get to Tupac.
Yeah, so there you go. So that's the discussion right there. So every year, not every year, they stopped doing it recently, but the Apollo Theater, the Friday after Thanksgiving, they would have, like, a hip-hop concert. So this is, I don't remember exactly what year this was, but I don't even believe I might have been 21 years old yet, or maybe I just turned 21 or something like that. But I'm walking past, bouncing down 125th Street, I see that the Apollo Theater, the Notorious B.I.G. was going to be headlining the Friday after Thanksgiving. So I was going to be up for break from college at the time, so I was like, we was going to go. So it was me, my man Dwayne, who... we call him Chuck. We call him Chuck because he went to high school with Allen Iverson, and all he would ever talk about was Bubba Chuck. You know what I'm saying? So we just started calling him Chuck, and it stuck. To this day, we call him Chuck. And it was Dwayne's homeboy. I don't forgot this kid name, but he was like light-skinned brother, real curly hair. He used to date cheerleaders and stuff, like professional cheerleaders, not like college cheerleaders.
Is this the guy from Coming to America?
No. So I never really liked him because not only was he like, you know, he was, like, never, like, a humble with it. You know what I'm saying? He would always brag about these women that he had. But the three of us, Apollo had a 7:30 show and a 9:30 show. So we get out there at 7 o'clock. We had been partaking in 40 ounces. You know what I'm saying? We was going to go in there loaded. The thing about it is, the Apollo Theater, these shows, which the first show was supposed to start at 7:30, Matt. But this is CP time. I don't know if y'all know what CP time means. It does not stand
Corey Parson time.
It does not stand for Corey Parson time. But in a way, it does stand for Corey Parson time. So it was
at 7:20.
Yeah. So anyway, we got in there well after 9:30, going on 10 o'clock. We're still on the line, and I had consumed all this alcohol. So now I had to go to the bathroom. And
what are you, Wu-Tang?
The one thing about 125th Street is not like a place where you can just, you know, pull over behind two parked cars, because there's tons of cops out here, not to mention the fact you got a hip-hop concert, so it's even more cops out here. So my buddy says, go to 126th Street. And I was like, good idea. So I got offline, and I ran to 126th Street, and I go behind the building, and I begin to urinate. So I'm looking both ways because he don't want to go to jail. You feel what I'm saying? So I see a car coming down the block, a big Land Cruiser type car. And I'm like, uh-oh, I got to hurry up. But I had been holding it for a while, so it was a good stream. And as the car pulls up, Little C's gets out the car. And I'm like, oh, man, that's Little C's. And at that moment, the door opens and like this big, humongous shadow of the Notorious B.I.G. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm back here peeing. I was peeing next to the backstage entrance to the Apollo. and the Notorious B.I.G. gets out the car with crutches. This is after he had broke his leg. So he's on crutches, and he's walking into the building, and I'm looking in, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's Notorious B.I.G. He had Charlie Baltimore with him and Little C's, and they were going into the back entrance of the Apollo, and Little Notorious B.I.G. looks over at me while I'm using the restroom, and he nods his head, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be so lit. We went in there that night. We had the show finally started at like the 7:30 show started at 11 o'clock, Matt. CP time. So we went out there and we had a blast. Notorious B.I.G. headlined. It was him and Little Kim and Little C's was on the ticket. Mobb Deep performed. Mobb Deep did Shook Ones, almost blew the roof off the Apollo that night. It was legendary performance by Mobb Deep. Shook Ones is a great hip hop song that I'm sure that everybody, you know, we know about it, but to like some young people, it's the song. Shook Ones is the song from the last scene of 8 Mile when Eminem's character, you know, won the battle. That is the Shook Ones song, right? That is the song Shook Ones. But the opening act, Jake, to that show that night, the opening act was Jay-Z. That's how legendary that show was.
Wow. Yeah. For the fact that, like, heck, towards the end of his career, before he died, well, end of his career, but before he died, to get those three together on a ticket, I'm not even talking about Lil' Kim. I'm talking about Mobb Deep, Jay-Z, and Biggie. That'd probably be like a $500 ticket now.
Yeah, oh, now you can forget about that, man. It was a wild. I'll never forget
Lil'
that
Kim
night.
Kim was crazy. She came she out was. You know, with that album.
She was different when she had that album cover, but she did it. She did her thing. And Big, like I said, he had the broken leg. That night, he performed in a wheelchair. It was wild. And then we went back our separate ways. We went back to the dude with the curly hair that used to date Chili. His parents had like a condo in Harlem. You know what I'm saying? He was like, we can just stay here. I'm like, I'm going home. Whatever. And then I went home, and that was it. So now, yesterday, the Tennessee Titans released DeMarco Murray. And while this happened, I was on the air recording tonight's episode of the Fantasy Football Frenzy. So, with this taking place, right, Fantasy Twitter exploded. So, Paul Charchi and everybody was tweeting how Derrick Henry locks Rollins top 10 running back, top 5 fantasy running back. Everybody's going crazy with these hot takes. And then my man Jake Seeley had the hottest of the hot takes. I don't remember the exact tweet, Jake, but the hashtag was not an RB1. And I'm like, yep. I think Jake might be off his rocker a little bit with this one. So I do think the Titans bring in a complimentary piece. I agree with you on that, Jake, but there's no way he's not a top 12 fantasy running back.
There's 100% way, because I told you before, he's Jordan Howard, which is fine. I like Jordan Howard. I'm a supporter of Jordan Howard. I had Jordan Howard on a lot of my teams last year. But the fact is, Jordan Howard limited in the passing game, not limited to the degree that he can't. People actually overestimate how poor he could be because of the drops. He's actually a decent pass catcher. He caught 23 or 24, I think, last year. And I don't think that number is going to go up much more because the Bears are either, one, going to move on from him in the trade, or two, continue with the Tariq Cohen and all the other opportunities and Benny Cunningham's of the world and stuff like that. But that's the point of Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, how I've always said since my draft profile on him, is a better catcher than people realize because they just wasn't used like that in college. That all being said, he's not better than Jordan Howard. He's not an elite level. He's not Melvin Gordon. He's not Mark Ingram. He's not somebody that's a dual threat in that, and he's definitely not in the conversation in any above those guys. So that's the biggest problem, is they bring in a complimentary piece. He can and will be a terrific two down player. He's also going to be inconsistent. And one of the things that we didn't get to when we're talking about on FST's regular show, not the OT now, is this is what I talked about in the Roto Experts podcast, is Derrick Henry's part of his own problem. And I'm sure you've seen this before too, Corey. He loves running outside, which is stupid with how powerful and strong and how explosive he is. Because of that explosiveness, he thinks he can run outside and get these sweeps and everything like that. And actually, if you watched last season, the majority of his big plays came on tosses and sweeps and outside. Some people will say that as a compliment, but the problem is now you're going to give the guy 20 carries a game. He's going to try and do that too much. He needs to be more of a power option. All that being said, he's going to be a fringe RB1. If he finishes at 10, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe that didn't happen. I'm not drafting him as an RB1, though, because Jordan Howard wasn't an RB1. Jordan Howard was RB15 in PPR, and that's what Derrick Henry should be in that same conversation.
Right, Matt Medina.
I want to continue the list when we after this break. Right? I know we were doing it.
Well, I have to set that up again. I have to set it up again.
You want to do it?
But as far as before we go to break, I give you a moment. But Jake makes some good points. What do you think?
Yeah, no, look, he's not a first round for me. As I said, I see maybe like more towards the end of the second. I do want to go over the list. I've been so deep into baseball of late.
Understood.
That, you know, to, you know, we haven't talked about LeSean McCoy. We didn't bring his name up. You know, is this the year to get off of Shady? I kind of did that last year, and they brought in Ivory. So let's do the list.
So when we come back on the other side, we'll do the list. And I got another story about the Notorious B.I.G. that people may not know it, or if it's people may not know about it or not. Some people do, some people don't. But we'll hash it and bring it back. One thing about Big, he was a great storyteller. And as he told a story in one of his songs that, come to find out, was true, we'll break it down right here. It's FSTOT.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Chris Pavona, right on point. He knows exactly where I'm going with this one. This right here, off the Life After Death, I got a story to tell. So, get into this story a little bit later on.
That was the best album.
In my opinion, ever. But it was amazing. And one thing about Notorious B.I.G., he told these fabulous stories, right? You know, Arizona Ron from Tucson, pushed Black UConn, the great. You know, Frankie, promise you don't rob him. I did. Okay, I promised, but my fingers was crossed. Anyway. So let's get back to the list. So Jake, I don't know how the setup goes for the list. So go ahead, and I hope Chris.
You don't know how it goes.
I don't know how it goes. I haven't heard Owen talking in a while.
Oh, nobody has. Sadly,
sadly,
nobody has heard that award-winning show. Sadly, so the point is, Corey, is do you know what we do? We're trying to figure out where a player ranks. Do you know what we do, Corey?
What do we do when
we don't know what players should go in front of them, what players should go behind them, where to rank them overall? We're just throwing out random numbers. Do you know what we do, Corey?
What do we do, Jake?
We make a list!
You just made the list!
And here we go right here. So it's time to go through the list. Now, we did this earlier, right?
We started it.
We started it earlier. So let's say this.
People haven't been watching, so we could start over. We got those big five.
So let's say this, right? Before we get into, you got the big five. You don't need that. But I want to talk about Melvin Gordon particularly. Let's say the Chargers add somebody to their backfield. Melvin Gordon has that low YPC. He's really a volume back. Would you consider Derrick Henry, any of you consider Derrick Henry over Melvin Gordon if the Chargers add another back?
Not even close.
Okay,
Eckler was already a factor last year.
Yeah, I was going to say Eckler, you know, did infringe on some of the activity. So
I like that, man. He did infringe on some of the activity. Very good vocabulary. All right, so... So we said Leonard Fournette is on the turn. So I agree. Leonard Fournette.
Well, let's give everybody because it wasn't following along, because we said Bell, Gurley, Johnson, Hunt, Ezekiel Elliott, Kamara, Gordon, Barkley, Fournette, and then we left off discussing Devontae Freeman.
All right. So we left off there discussing Devontae Freeman. And it's interesting because this is where I think the break this is where the break is. I would take right now at this moment, Matt, if I was on the clock, I would take Derrick Henry over Devontae Freeman.
That's tough. I mean, I just like the Falcons offense better right now as it constitutes. And I know one guy, look, they're both going to be red zone players. They're mm-hmm. both going to get those opportunities. But Freeman has consistently crushed it.
Okay. Now, with that being said, you look at Devontae Freeman's concussion history.
That is scary. That, you know, that was something Dr. A did mention it prior to the season. Mm-hmm. It did happen.
Did he have one more concussion this year or two more? He had one more concussion this year. And I believe he missed two games with that concussion.
No, yeah.
He's going to have another concussion next year. His running style, just the nature of the beast. I would take Henry over Devontae Freeman.
So you're taking Henry over Freeman. So we haven't even talked McCoy. McCoy gets jumped.
I haven't got there yet. Yeah, I was going to continue with that. I was going to say real quick, though, with this.
That was the next one, Jake. Go ahead.
We're also saying as of today, and the real tell, let me put one thing out there while we're doing this list, too. This will be real telling whether the Titans agree with me or not, and I have a feeling they will. But if they go into next season and they don't add somebody in the draft, which I can't see them not doing before the fifth round, just with how loaded, maybe the sixth round, with how loaded this draft class is. And there are a lot of pass catching type running. Like people keep saying, Sony Michel. They don't have to get Sony Michel to have a complimentary piece to him. So if they do go into next season and their backups are all, you know, Andre Williams types, then, you know, maybe we are having a different discussion. But I don't think that's happening. So Devontae Freeman, though, you know, we're kind of hedging that one. We could put a pin in that. It's 2-1. Like Matt and I are both taking them. Matt and I are also not, it doesn't sound, correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, but neither of us are saying, oh, it's definitive, no question about it.
You know, I'm not definitive on it. Okay. I believe in the talent of Devontae Freeman, but yeah. There's lots of concerns.
It's a lot of things to unpack with Freeman. Also, I don't believe this to be true, but there are rumors. The Falcons are in love with the defensive tackle Vita V from Washington, and it's rumors that the Falcons are dangling Devontae Freeman. I don't know if that's.
It would be hard to trade. They just signed him.
They gave him all that money, and he has concussion history. So I understand he would be hard to trade. All right. So next, Matt, is the guy
LeSean McCoy.
Is LeSean McCoy? I'm Derrick Henry over LeSean McCoy.
And
it's easy for me.
The Bills just don't want him getting touchdowns, but I kind of shaded away from Shady.
Okay.
This year. I thought, you know, not that he wouldn't be good, but there's other guys I liked, and you know, 30 years old. That's going to be another interesting one. We're getting to the point where with Freeman and with LeSean McCoy, but I want to see who's the quarterback for the Bills. I want to know what kind of offense they're running. LeSean McCoy, with a shotgun offense, is tremendous. He averages over like 5 yards a carry.
Yep.
And under center, it's different. He took a major step back when the yards per carry, but he is the volume guy. I need to know what kind of receivers are coming to this team. So I'm going to hold on McCoy, but if the offense is improved, I'm probably going to go McCoy.
All right, Jake.
It's tough right now.
What do you say?
Offense doesn't even need to improve for me. LeSean McCoy finished 7th in standard and PPR last year, and he continues to be productive. And that's with only scoring 6 rushing touchdowns. It doesn't even need to be. I understand what Matt's saying, but for me, I don't care who the quarterback is. He played with Peterman for a couple games. He played with a terrible Tyrod Taylor performance all year long. LeSean McCoy has never needed a quarterback behind him. And yeah, I understand, you know, they're not hell-bent on getting him touchdowns, and obviously with the Chris Ivory signing. But again, scored 6 rushing touchdowns last year, was RB7 in both formats. If it's going to be RB7, RB8 again, I don't see Henry getting there, so I'm taking LeSean McCoy easily.
I want to say one thing, because he mentioned the name Peterman. I want him off the team.
Hey, Bavona, right quick, what time do we have to go to break, Bavona?
36.
About 5 minutes. All right, cool. All right, so let's do one more, and then I'll get into Notorious B.I.G. story. PPR, we're discussing here, Matt.
Derrick, we can do half Derrick point Henry. To go down the middle.
Huh?
We can say half point so we kind of get down the middle.
Okay, cool. We'll do this one right here, and then we'll get the Notorious
Mark
B.I.G.
Ingram?
I was going to go Christian McCaffrey.
Both of them.
All right, so let's
Mark Ingram was number 6 last year. Christian McCaffrey was number 9 in PPR and a fringe RB1 in non-PPR, and now Jonathan Stewart's gone. I'm taking both of them over Derrick Henry.
I'm taking Derrick Henry over McCaffrey, and I'm taking Derrick Henry over McCaffrey and Ingram.
Mark Ingram is – I love Mark Ingram.
Okay.
I just – how is this going to work with them next year? Are they going to stick with the same kind of formula? Does Kamara's role increase? I don't think Kamara – I think Kamara should kind of pretty much stay where he was this year. Maybe they can give him a little bit more. But I wouldn't want to see – I think this is a recipe for success.
Okay. It worked.
It did. I love Ingram. And I'm going to have problems because I kind of feel like Kamara is going to start taking more of this. And McCaffrey, see, in a full point PPR, I'm taking McCaffrey because I know he's going to get those catches. I think his role expands next year. But, you know, it once you get to the Freeman one, we've done, what, 4 or 5 running backs?
Yeah.
It's where you start having a conversation.
That's where you start having the conversation at right there.
Right.
I agree.
Now, for me, it's not close in my opinion. I'm taking all of these guys. I start having the conversation after these guys with Jordan Howard, with Darius Geis, depending on where he lands.
Kenyon Drake.
I would definitely take Henry over Drake.
Okay. So I'm
here's one for you, Corey, that I didn't mention, though.
Okay.
Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, we didn't mention Dalvin Cook. So this is if Dalvin Cook is healthy, I'm taking Dalvin Cook. So right now, when you're looking at how draft boards are likely going to shape up, I have Henry and Dalvin Cook and Leonard Fournette on that 1-2 turn. That's where I have those three backs. Matt and Jake are more on the 2-3 turn, the back end of the.
Well, Corey, you actually have them later than that. Because you agreed on 11 if Cook is healthy, 10 without Cook, which would put him outside the first round if you incorporate wide receivers. So you have him in the beginning of the second round.
You're going to have so many running backs in that first round, though, because people are going to go.
You're not going to have wide receivers. There's only 12 picks. We already said 10 or 11. He's at best, he's 11 for you. You just admitted the list. At best, he's 11. At worst, he's 12 or 13. So he's in the top of the second round for you.
So, yeah. So
do we agree that Brown, Hopkins, and Beckham are all going
to those are the first round wide receivers.
Yeah.
So are you okay? You're right, Jay, because I'm looking at a 14-team league board. My bad. So I am more in the top of the second, middle of the second for Henry. You guys are more towards
the. Where did Henry go? Trent said.
He went in the middle of the second. You guys are more towards the back end of the second.
I would think the third.
From the middle.
Okay, the third.
I'm anywhere from the middle to that second. I have to sit down. I got to look at, after what was a fantastic season, I've been so removed from it.
Okay, like, no doubt. I feel you.
Being, as we would say, living it.
Wait, was that kind of like you were trying to say you were celebrating all your winnings so much?
Pretty much, yeah. it was nice to cash as well as they did this year.
No doubt. How much time you got, Bavona?
Minute and a half.
Oh, God. We got to do it. We got to open up. So we'll come back the next segment. We'll talk about I Got a Story to Tell. We'll break that down.
Oh, so then I'll do this for you, Corey. I forgot to give him a shout-out. My guy, Josh Maddox from Light. It's the Little Light Shirt Company sent me this. Jesus Christ Catering.
There you go.
I like it. Those are the fishes.
Those are the fishes. Yeah. Look at that. That's pretty cool. And it's Friday. Yeah. Look at that. It's perfect.
Yep.
Little Light Shirt Company
sent me two shirts. I got another one, too.
I have the shepherd's pie next week. No, it's not Good Friday, right?
No. Still got a couple weeks before we get to Good Friday. I still probably have some fish today. Speaking of which, I'm going to be having lunch with Eric Harris and Bobby Jackson in the backcourt for the Golden Gophers that went to the Final Four almost 20 years ago now. They're going to come down here and do lunch and rock and rollies, you know what I'm saying? So that'll be a good time. And maybe we can get them on the air and they can reminisce about the Final Four.
I'm used to Filet-O-Fish Fridays, but
yeah. Cool with that, too. Filet-O-Fish Fridays is fine with me, too. When they got any fish at Rock and Rollies, I'm getting one of them to buy it, though. where's Lou?
I have a chili and cheese, man.
All right, so when we come back, Notorious B.I.G., and we got to go about the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. This right here. Let's just go out, Notorious B.I.G., kicking the door.
The victories begin in January. The Fantasy Sports Writers Association named Roto Experts winners of two prime fantasy baseball awards. Tim McCullough and Scott Engel joined champion fantasy ranker Jake Seeley on the mountaintop, and now their triumphs are yours with the RotoExperts.com 2018 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package. A full squad of high-profile winners such as Michael Florio and Joe Galina, they're here to help you take it all. Enter code FNTSY at checkout and join the Exclusive Edge Winners Club at RotoExperts.com.
All right. Back up and Adam FSTOT. Getting ready to break it down. Greatest rapper of all time died on March 9th. Shout out to everybody down there on the first floor. Lance Davis had made a point. I told you about that concert earlier. He said Foxy Brown was probably performing with Jay-Z. Yes. Foxy Brown and Jay-Z were on stage together that night. Lance is correct. I forgot about Foxy Brown. Well, I think Foxy Brown right now is like, I think she lost her hearing or something like that. I read a story about it. It's kind of crazy. It's kind of wild. So, the Life After Death album, the great, I Got a Story to Tell.
Was it 97 or 98?
I believe Life After came out in 1996, the summer of 1990. Wait a minute, when All About the Benjamins was the summer of 1997?
But
Life After Death was 97.
Yes, in March 97, right? 97. Yeah, I think it was March 97 was Life After. No, May 1997. May 25th, 1997 was when it came out. And then the Diddy joint came out a little bit after that, whatever. And it had All About the Benjamins, which was like one of the greatest hip-hop songs ever. All right, so I got a story to tell. So the story is Notorious B.I.G. meets the woman, right? So he goes, they develop a friendship. So he goes to the woman's house, right? Now, the woman tells Notorious B.I.G. that her boyfriend or whatever, I don't think they were married, played for the New York Knicks. So Notorious B.I.G. goes over to the lady's house. Now, myself personally, she had to come
over. I hope it wasn't Anthony Mason.
She would have had to come over to my crib. You know what I'm saying? But whatever. Notorious B.I.G., he goes to the woman's house. So, as the story, the lyrics go, he deflowered her.
You know what means that one.
Yes, I am. I love that. I just found that out this week. So, they deflowered, and, you know, she satisfied twice. He satisfied last, and they rolled the grass. He giggled, and she was smoking on homegrown, whatever the case may be. So, now the story goes on to say, the gentleman that played for the New York Knicks, Notorious B.I.G., I don't know if they was rained out or whatever the case may be, he pops up. He comes back to the house. He comes home. Honey, I'm home. So, tote chrome for a situation like this, you know, and the rest of the story. So, the story, the legend has it that Notorious B.I.G. gets in the closet. He ties the woman's up. He takes out the pistol. When the basketball player comes upstairs, he puts the pistol in the basketball player's face, and the guy gives him $100,000 in cash, you know what I'm saying, the basketball player, and Notorious B.I.G. rolls out the great song, I Got a Story to Tell. Years later, it come to pass, we found out, and this was actually a true story, Matt. And Jake, do you know who the basketball player is?
Allen Iverson.
It was not Allen Iverson. Close.
Charles Smith.
It was not Charles Smith, Matt Modica. You were right the first time.
I was right the first time.
You were right the first time. It was the basketball player, rest in peace, was Anthony Mason. Anthony Mason was the subject of I Got a Story to Tell. A lot of people do not know this. People are saying, well, that's not confirmed. Well, Fat Joe was asked about it. Fat Joe was like, said it was Anthony Mason. So John Starks was asked about it. And John Starks would not confirm or deny that the player was Anthony Mason. That's normally a sign that the player was Anthony Mason.
I mean, look,
wouldn't want to fight Anthony Mason either.
No, I would not. And what's crazy about the story is he tied her up, put her in the closet.
Uh-huh.
Took out the gun. Got $100,000.
Yes.
And then left.
Who knew? After a deflowering and after a night of deflowering and marijuana smoke. So,
like, how is that not a movie?
This is true. Netflix.
I mean, I would assume Lifetime's done something like this.
Yes. Yeah. On a Sunday afternoon, You're watching this movie like, wow, what is going on? Did you know that, Jake? That was Anthony Mason. Did you know that story was a true story?
No. I have no idea.
Yes, true story right there. So shout out to Notorious B.I.G. So today, my daughter is one of the first people that I talk to before and after. But, like, before she goes to bed, she FaceTime me. And then when I wake up in the morning, she wakes me up. She FaceTimes me on her way to school. My son, on the other hand, I'll never hear from him. You know what I'm saying?
Your son's in that age.
Yeah, man, exactly.
16 years old.
Yeah, so whatever. I text him. So last night, I found this interesting. My daughter, she says to me, she takes the phone. We're on FaceTime. And she's in her room, and I'm like, hey, what's going on? She's chilling. I'm like, you still got your uniform on? She was like, yeah, I'm going to bed soon. I'm like, where's mommy? She's like, mommy's asleep already. I'm like, all right, cool. She says, daddy, look at this. She takes the phone. She turns the phone over, and her TV is hanging on the wall now. So me, as a father, you know what I'm saying, my first thought was, who put the TV on the wall? So she looks at me in a little bit of a shock. She says, Mr. John. And I was like, oh, Mr. John put the TV on the wall. Mr. John. These phone calls I be getting on the first of the month, Mr. John, they should be going in your direction. You feel what I'm saying? Now, let's get to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Mr. John. Remember how earlier this year I had to get a dude fantasy advice. You feel what I'm saying? Mr. John. Can you imagine that, Jake?
I would have been given such terrible advice.
Jake, what should I tell Mr. John about Derrick Henry?
What you're telling me right now.
Top five pick.
That was a good one. I got to go to roster resource, and I got to find out who's on the Angels rotation. So who should we start with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim rotation?
Let's go Garrett Richards.
All right, let's go Garrett Richards, Matt Modica. Let's start with Garrett Richards.
I'm excited. I'm concerned. Oh, you know, there's many outcomes that can happen with him. He finished the season five fantastic starts. He's, you know, working on the curveball now that he's thrown. But if that becomes a bigger part of his mix to go with the fastball slider, I mean, health is really the only hurdle here with this guy. And hopefully it's 140 to 150. I mean, 160 would be the most optimistic, I could say.
Is he their SP1?
He's their ace going into the season.
But he's not a fantasy SP1.
No. I mean, he's pitched like 60 innings the last 2 years combined.
It's going to be hard for you to be an SP1 in fantasy if that's the case. Jake, what do you think? Garrett Richards, is he a guy you're interested in your remaining drafts?
Oh, absolutely. But the fact is the value that you can get. And so what I said the other day on FSD in general is the fact that people don't realize how good he is if he could stay healthy. There's no question about it. The only problem is health. You go back to 2014, every single game that you add up from 2014 through last year, he's got a 3.06 ERA. He's terrific. He's a great pitcher. The strikeouts are there. The ability is there. It's just his inability to stay healthy. Look at the last two seasons, the amount of innings he's pitched. So it really comes down to, can I get him for – I'd be happy if I got Garrett Richards for 150 innings, because I know those 150 innings are going to be, if you're just talking about Garrett Richards being Garrett Richards, those are going to be top 20, 25 starting pitcher to 150 innings. It's just the fact of, you got to understand that's the risk that you get, is maybe he only gets you 70.
All right, there you go.
What we term upside on.
So, have we talked about Ohtani enough, or do we need to talk about Ohtani as a pitcher?
I'll just say this for Ohtani. I think he's going to be a really good pitcher. I'm going to skew him closer to the 140, you know, cap out 150. 160 to me, once again, is like the high end, especially that they're going to try and use this six-man rotation early on.
Jake, what's up with your hair?
What's up with my hair?
I don't know. The fantasy pit of memory wants to know if you dyed your hair.
No, I didn't dye my hair. There's just a light behind me for proper lighting now, so you can actually see.
Oh, okay.
Like somebody was telling me how to properly light my area.
Okay.
And so there's a light coming down on it. It's probably making it look light. It probably looks a little bit lighter. I don't know. I'm waiting for the video to switch back over so I can tell you. Oh, yeah, it looks a spit lighter. It's more of that dark. You can see the back. It does look lighter, but that's because of the lighting.
Are you grooming it differently?
No.
Okay, there you go. I'm just going with the people in my ear telling me to ask. I didn't notice it myself. You know, that's like, is Jake going Florio on us becoming a model too?
Florio's
trying to be like me.
Okay, there you go. It's like the dude I went to that concert with. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, all these cheerleaders and stuff like that. I don't know, just bragging about his He's a clown now, though.
Maybe I could put the light a little bit further away so it doesn't light so much. It does. I can see where why he's asking that. But it's supposed to give the depth so you can get more. You can actually see it today. There's more separation between me and the backdrop, so I'm not blending in. That was the whole point.
All right, cool.
So anyway, that being said, Ohtani. That's who we were talking about.
Yes. We were.
Another one. Like Matt's brought up this point a million times already, and he's right. You know, if Ohtani only goes 170. That, you know what, that 170 for how many pitchers rarely get to 200 these days. I did it. I mentioned it actually when I was talking about my starting pitching and relief pitching values, the best 13 ADPs to exploit right now over on rotoexperts.com. Ding. The fact is, there's only 13 pitchers that hit the 200 strikeout mark, or I think it actually, wait, was it less than that? Whatever it was, is you talk about the 200 strikeouts and 200 innings, and nobody reaches those thresholds anymore. So for the fact that you get Ohtani and what he should be for 170, 160 innings, I have no problem with where he's going in drafts.
All right, what's up with Matt Shoemaker? Anybody want to jump on this one, Matt Shoemaker? 90 seconds. We got 90 seconds to talk about Matt Shoemaker.
Solid at the bench option. That's really like, you know, 4 ERA and okay whip, okay strikeouts. He's a bench pitcher.
Yeah, the one guy I heard the announcer of the Angels say it last week, and I was watching the spring training game. I say it every year. This is the year for Tyler Skaggs. Hopefully he can stay healthy, see what he can do. I think he has some upside. Can he get it done? I'm not sure, but I'll take that gamble, like, you know, reserve round player.
Right, when we come back on the side, get ready to shut it down today. We'll talk about some of the bullpen arms for the Los Angeles Angels and Anaheim. And then we'll get some weekend plans rolling. It's a lot of good basketball on tonight. So doing that, and then we might even – who knows? Maybe I got a story to tell.
Are we going to do our favorite songs when we come back?
Oh, yeah, we can do that. That's a good job. We'll do that. You can't say the name of my favorite song on the radio, though, but I'll...
You can censor it.
Yeah, I'll censor it. That'd be cool. Because Most of my favorites. All of my favorites got a bad word. Oh, this is one of them right here too. Yeah, I love the dough.
I don't even know which one you're talking about.
I love the dough. I love the dough. This is him and Jay-Z. This is a classic. I was trying to listen to this on Tidal this morning, but of course it wouldn't stream. Jay-Z. FSDO TV, right back.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Notorious B.I.G. is the greatest rapper of all time, correct?
I agree with Corey 100%. He is the greatest rapper of all time. I kind of get angry when people put Tupac in the same breath as him.
Tupac, to me, was a great actor, a great poet, as Chris Pavone says. I think he would have been a well-known actor also.
I'm thinking about the number of songs, and obviously you're going to have a limited sample from B.I.G. because of what happened, but I'd say Biggie every single time. But Nas and Jay-Z are very highly thought of with me as well.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Greatest rapper of all time died on March 9th. So, we have to talk quickly about the bullpen arms for the Los Angeles Angels. So Jim Ross doesn't get upset.
Blake Parker is the guy that's got the... He's going to get the first shot to lead into the season. Question is, can he hold it? He put up some nice skills last year at 32 years old or something like that. Cambridge Rosen's always been a guy I've liked. He's never been able to stay healthy. Mike Socia is a sociopath when it comes to his closers and stuff, or late inning guys, however you want to frame them. And they got the kid, Kenyatta Middleton, I believe is how you say his name.
Kenyon. Mm.
Yeah, okay, thank you, Jake. And he's like the dark horse guy there. So it's going to be interesting. Jim Johnson could find his way at the saves, too. It's kind
because of Socia.
Yeah.
What do you think, Jake, about this bullpen, the Angels of Anaheim?
Oh, same thing. I actually have Parker in a couple spots because it's his job to lose. But as Matt said, Socia's insane. So the fact is, Parker could have honestly had a zero ERA through spring training, and we could have still seen Jim Johnson and Cam Bedrosian at times. So it's Parker, but go ahead and stash Bedrosian and Johnson in deep leagues just in case. And then, yeah, of course, like you said, keep an eye on Middleton throughout the season.
All right. And just for the record, I'm never Jim Johnson.
Duke, North Carolina tonight. Go at it for the third time this year. A lot of classic games in this rivalry. The one that comes to mind the most is the bloody Montross game, the Eric Montross game. I mean, just back and forth, the intensity of this rivalry. One of the best rivalries in sports, Matt Modica.
Oh, yeah, it's a fantastic rivalry. It's not one of my favorites. I'm going to root for Duke tonight. I know you guys are Tar Heel fans, but wonderful. I'm going to go for the Brotherhood.
The Brotherhood of Duke University. Jake, you pumped up for this one tonight? Or they have never played in the NCAA tournament, though.
No, they actually never have. When I read the article the other day, it was the 29 things that have never happened in the NCAA tournament. It was actually a pretty interesting read, and that's one of those things. It's because they always leave them on other sides of the bracket, potentially, if it ever were to happen.
They won in the Final Four of the championship.
Yeah.
So they go right there. Now, favorite Notorious B.I.G. jams. I'll set it off, obviously. I was a big fan of Unbelievable. That joint rocked for years.
Wait, are we doing ones that it's only him, or can it be on somebody else's album with him?
It can be on. As long as he was a part of it, his voice was heard on it, he could be a part of it. I'm going to go Unbelievable, which is classic. I'm going to go Brothers Bleed, which is the story of Arizona Ron from Tucson, pushed the black Yukon, mostly had the slow grooves on. And then I got a B-side. A lot of people haven't heard this one. It was a B-side where he was flowing over Snoop Dogg beats. Like, he used all West Coast beats, all Dr. Dre West Coast beats. It's called Real Brothers Do Real Things. It's absolutely amazing. If you haven't heard it, go look for it. That's my top three Notorious B.I.G. What do you think, All In?
I think this. It's funny. I don't have most of those.
It's cool.
No, it's just, I like, for what I went with, so I'd probably go Hypnotize as number one, just because I got to say the other ones that come to mind that I wouldn't put at the top, just the ones that you didn't mention. Like, I think Victory is always going to be up there at the top. Victory might actually be my all-time favorite that he's collaborated in. But, like, that's, you know, there's a multiple pieces in that one. He's not just somebody else with him. So that one's kind of fringy for me because I always feel like it should be kind of more of a duo, if not the main person. So That's it's up there. But I would say those. I always liked the beat for Ten Crack Commandments.
Ah.
I would say that was up there. And then, you know, I was never a big Who Shot You or Big Papa because I like more. I like them. I just like the more upbeat. So the one that might surprise a lot of people, it might surprise you, Corey. I like Warning.
Warning is very good.
I'll throw two out there that I've always loved is What's Beef?
Yes, What's Beef?
Kicking the door.
Kicking the door, waving the 4-4. I was feeling you would like that one, man. There you go right there. Tomorrow is March 10th. Coming up next, the fantasy best friends forever.